Hi, this is Rory O'Connor, creator of Rory Story Cubes and co-creator of the Extraordinaries Design Studio with Anita Murphy, and you're listening to Family Gamers.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Family Gamers. I am your host, Andrew.
And I am Anitra, and guess what episode is?
Episode 50!
50!
I want to do like an Aerosmith guitar riff right now. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, we are super stoked to be here for episode 50. We've been talking for a little bit about what we wanted to do on this episode, what kind of special stuff we wanted to feature or whatever. I think we've got some cool ideas for the show.
I think so.
So it's going to be fun. We're going to have some announcements. We're going to kick off a new contest.
Yay, giveaways. And we like giving away stuff.
Yeah. So we're going to do what we always do every single week, and that is talk about what we have been doing.
Yeah.
We've been doing a lot.
If you want a fuller list, you could probably follow us on Instagram, because we've been posting pictures of just about every game we play.
So many game pictures on Instagram, which is awesome, because it's a lot easier to explain what a game looks like by just taking a picture of it.
I am a believer. I am a convert to Instagram.
We saw the pictures, and now we're believers.
We saw the pictures, now we're believers.
Yep, you can sing it. I can't sing it.
There we go. So we played Silly Street with our family.
We did.
Which was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Very
it's a great
silly.
Game from Buffalo Games. It's the Wanna Play development group. They do a lot of these kinds of interactive games that try to get kids to interact with their parents or with other adults in really fun ways.
Yeah.
That was
the kids thought great. It was hilarious when you used a tissue as to make a mask.
Okay, so in this game, you're moving along basically a board with spots, and you pull a card and it says, you know, do this thing and move this many spots. And I pulled a card that said, use something in this room as a mask. And I was looking around and I couldn't find anything. So I grabbed a tissue and I kind of like ripped little eye holes out of the tissue. And then I
stuck it under your glasses.
Actually, I
over
actually
your glasses.
Punched holes through the tissue with like the the earpieces of my glasses. So it would be held on. And I just pushed my glasses back on, and I had a little mask made out of a tissue, and the kids thought it was hysterical. So there's a picture of it on Instagram.
There is.
Instagram.com/familygamersaa.
You should check it out. He looked pretty silly.
I looked like a guy with a tissue on his face.
Yeah. Well, I found it like mildly amusing, and then I was like, all right, let's move on. But the kids, every time they looked at you, would just burst out laughing again.
Well, I left it on for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That was the point, right?
Yep.
We also played some more Barnyard Roundup, enough that I was finally able to finish writing my review.
Yes!
Which you can find on our website.
That's the interview, that's
the review
going
up
live tomorrow?
Yep.
Excellent.
It'll already be live by the time this podcast goes live.
Sweet. So that is the first game from Druid City Games, the people that are responsible for bringing to us The Grim Forest, which we are super excited about.
Yes. You brought Extraordinaires Design Studio to our kids' school.
Yeah.
Already talked about that a little bit last week on our interview with Rory.
Yeah. So, man, I guess it's been a long time since... I feel like it's been a long time since we've done a show. So we released this show on Mondays.
Yep.
And I guess it was the day that we released episode 48 was the same day that I went to our kids' school. And we got to play with the Extraordinaires Design Studio. Now, we've talked a little bit about the Extraordinaires Design Studio before, and we're going to have some more content coming out about it, so I don't want to get too into detail with that. But I basically taught their art class, and it was like two hours of art.
Wow.
Yeah, and so what we did was we did like a group think, which basically is... establishing kind of what the goal of the exercise is, and then soliciting input from all of the members of the class. And then we did kind of an individual think where everybody was given the same...
Everybody had the same task?
Yeah, the same task with the same product that they had to, quote, develop. And they were all encouraged to do it their own ways. And then we had people come up at the end and kind of talk about what they did. At that point, nobody was paying attention anymore. So that part was kind of a waste. But it was neat because the kids did very, very different things.
And, cool.
So I would definitely say... check out last week's episode 49, and keep your eyes open because we're going to have some fun stuff coming up pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. More games. We finally got around to playing Legendary.
Yeah. So Legendary is a Marvel-themed deck builder.
Yeah.
We had picked up kind of on a friend's recommendation a while ago, Sentinels of the Multiverse. And we played it one time, and I mean, if I'm being honest, like, there's a legitimate possibility it's one of those just, like, it was the first time we played it, and it just kind of something didn't work or whatever. It just did not grab me at all, like, at all. And it just sat on our shelf.
It's not that it's a bad game. It just, it didn't work well for us.
It just did not work. And we ended up trading it in the math trade for at Granite Game Summit.
Mm-hmm.
But a while ago, I had traded something else that we had stopped playing for a bunch of stuff, including Marvel Legendary. And finally, last week, we were able to get that to the table. We isolated all the games that, like, we have to play these games because we haven't played them ever or for a really long time. And that was one of the bigger boxes in the pile. So we pulled that out. I really liked it.
Quick shout out to all the people who gave us encouragement when I posted on Instagram, like, I'm sure this will be a great game once we get through all the rules.
Yeah.
And people are like, it will be, stick with it. And once you've learned the rules once, you're not going to take this massive amount of time for setup again.
And honestly, it's actually almost like the setup is a little bit more of a burden than the rules are.
Yeah, well, there were three of us coming to it. None of us had ever played it before. And so we're all sitting there going, wait, why does this go over here? And what is the purpose? And how does this fit together?
Also, and we're going to kind of touch on this in a couple of games, but the stock insert in Legendary is terrible.
Was terrible.
It's awful. Unless you buy like 7 or 8 expansions and fill the thing up, it doesn't.
It doesn't really hold the cards in place. And
so, you know, it took me half an hour just to reorganize everything, to put it in the right places so that we could then set up the game.
Yeah.
But the game
itself, knew we had the right cards. Yeah.
Yeah, but the game itself was really fun.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun playing it.
And there was so much that we didn't even use that I could tell that there's going to be a lot of variability in this game.
We can play this game a lot of times.
And I think that our oldest, Claire, is close to being able to play a game like this, because it's not that complicated.
But it's also not that simple.
Right, but it's collaborative, so things aren't really hidden.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those collaborative competitive games, right?
Yeah.
Because whoever gets the most victory points wins at the end. But we could rule shift that out, at least in the beginning. I really liked it.
Yep.
This is really what I think I might have mentioned that a few times.
Let's see. We also played Zeus on the Loose, which we hadn't played in a really long time. And it made me sad because now that we've played it again, I just want to keep playing it over and over again.
The game is
hilariously fun.
It's so basic, but it's just silly.
Yeah.
And
I think the reason we
had
haven't.
A good time. And it's a good. In much the same way that Duple is an excellent palate cleanser, Zeus on the Loose is very
also,
much like that.
I think the reason we haven't played it much is because our kids are still just a little bit on the young side for it, and it's that kind of simple, light thing that otherwise is only going to come out as a palate cleanser in between bigger games.
Yeah, it's, you know, we say palate cleanser, also filler game, same kind of idea. The problem with a game like Zeus on the Loose, in Zeus on the Loose, it's been so long since we've played it. The point basically is to get have the Zeus figurine when Mount Olympus gets to 100.
Yeah,
and you're playing number cards to add up to eventually get to 100. Yeah. And if you get to any of the 10, so 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90.
Or 100 on the dot.
On the dot, you get to take the Zeus little, it's just a little plastic Zeus guy who's, I don't know, it's just funny to grab it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's also gods, and the god cards will do different things. Hera goes to 99.
A lot of them make you steal Zeus no matter what else is going on.
No matter what, you round up or down. Sometimes they'll make you flip the digits, so 91 becomes 19. And it's kind of a quick, fast-paced game, but therein lies the rub. You cannot play this game with kids of different ages.
Yeah, no.
We've talked a lot about games that are great for that. This is not at all good for that, because even if you've got kids that can do math, they kind of need to be able to do it.
It requires really quick math in your head.
Right. So even our super precocious 8-year-old, she can't, not quite fast enough.
Yeah, she's not quite there
to be able to play this with adults. And so that's tough, because this would be a fun game to play with the kids, but it's...
We'd have to slow it way down.
Yeah, you really would. But either way,
we could do
great filler game.
But yeah. We finally got out Dimension, which I convinced you to that we should pick up after I played it at Granite Game Summit.
Yep. This it's a fun game.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. I mean, I liked it. I liked it fine.
Yeah.
I didn't I wasn't, you know, I think if I had played that at Granite Game Summit, I would have said, this is the fun game, and if it's around, sure, I'll play it. I don't know that I was quite as gung-ho as you were, but
I think it's, for me, there's something about that combination of dexterity and puzzle and speed that just, it really, I like it a lot.
I don't think it's a dexterity game. I wouldn't call it a dexterity. It's just a puzzle game. It's a timed puzzle game.
Sure.
Personal thing, whatever, but...
Spatial reasoning.
Sure, yeah.
Our kids have actually asked to play it a few times. We've usually tried to make sure that there is a grown-up playing it with them. And they are in this weird place where they really like it and they like the idea, but they also get super frustrated by playing the game. Because it's a hard game. It doesn't look like it should be a hard game, but it's a hard game.
So here's the thing about Dimension. You know, we've talked about rule shifting, and as we do our reflections of the last 49 episodes, I think rule shifting will come up. This is a great game where... using Siri to set a longer timer than 1 minute.
That would help.
Would help quite a bit.
Yeah.
Right? Because I remember the very first time I sat down to play, the very first session or whatever, the very first minute, I did not realize how fast that minute goes at all.
Really
fast. I was
maybe
half done when we were completely out of time. And I think that, you know, I was able to speed up and kind of, you know, be competitive and stuff like that. But for the kids, I mean, if we set a timer at 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes, I think it would make their lives a lot easier.
Yeah. It would help. I mean, there are other factors, too. I think another thing that could help playing it with our kids is just doing less rule cards.
Sure.
Which would just dial the difficulty down a little bit.
Right. Or you know, you can choose to ignore one for free.
Or something like that. Yeah. What else? Played again. I introduced some more friends to which is still probably the worst board game name ever. But it's an excellent game. We finally got around to playing Tesla versus Edison with our Powering Up expansion.
Yeah. So, okay. It's great.
Yeah.
The Power Armor, it's so excellent.
Yes.
It does. If you've played the base game, Tesla versus Edison, it's a lot of fun, but there's a very heavy reliance on the stock market, and you pretty much know at the end of the game, whoever's got, whichever company is the highest stock value,
that person has probably
going to win.
Yeah.
They've made just enough adjustments. They didn't really dramatically change a lot of things, but they made enough adjustments that it's essentially the same game, and it just runs a little bit smoother. And
the stock market
changes the trade a little bit. It's a little bit less of a commanding element or mechanic.
It's a major element still, but it's not the main thing you're looking at each turn.
Right. And when we kickstarted it, we kickstarted at the tier that we got the Broken Token insert.
Yes.
For that, and other than the fact that somebody didn't glue some of the pieces together.
Other than that, it's been good.
It's awesome. Oh, Broken Token makes such amazing inserts.
All right.
We need one for Legendary.
Probably. Let's keep moving on. I picked up at our local kids consignment store the Klutz Book of Classic Board Games, which I had as a kid and you had as a kid.
Yep.
And polling around on Instagram, a lot of people had this as as kids.
That's fantastic. I mean, you pulled it out, you're like, I got this. And I was like, oh.
Exactly. I tried so hard to be strong. I saw it at the consignment store and I was like, I'm not buying toys today. I'm only here to buy kids' clothes. If it's still here the next time I come, I will buy it then. The next time I came was almost a month later and it was still there. And I was like, okay, done. I'm sold.
I have done my responsible thing.
I have been a responsible adult. One of our followers on Instagram said, you know, I had this, and you need to know those aren't junior mints.
Yeah, those.
don't eat the marbles that look kind of like junior mints.
Well, and I found out that our 2-year-old found that out the hard way by reading Instagram comments. So, yeah.
But if you don't know what this is, I highly recommend you look it up online. It's all over eBay and Amazon used for $10 to $12.
By the way, I just looked it up. There is a Broken Token insert for Legendary.
Ooh.
And it has movable pieces inside so that you can adjust them for when you get more.
I think we'll add that to our Christmas wish list.
It's not even that expensive for Broken Token, so yeah,
that's... for Broken Token.
Anyway, sorry.
So yeah, Klutz Book of Classic Board Games. I ran our older two kids through a couple of them, so they were interested in seeing different ways they could do it. But then we had to pack it all up because our not quite 3-year-old was very interested in playing with the pieces and did not respect the fact that some needed to be on the board and some needed to stay off of the board.
And none of them were junior mints.
He didn't put any of them in his mouth, amazingly enough.
Oh, that is amazing.
All right, what else? What else have we been playing?
You and I
had a date night.
We had a hot date. It was awesome.
We went to a coffee shop and played board games because that's what we do.
That's what we do.
No, big props to your mother-in-law who is like, oh, you know, you guys don't have your usual stuff. I'm going to watch the kids anyway. You guys go have a date.
Your mother-in-law.
Sorry. My mother-in-law, your mother.
Yes.
Big props to your mother.
Yo, word up, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. So we played Epic, which was fine.
Yeah, you know, I thought I was going to enjoy it more. I kickstarted that game. and it was finally the first time that we got around to playing it.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not amazing.
Yeah. Like I said right after we finished playing the game, we played it as a random shuffle. I think I would like it a little bit better as, like, let's take some time and construct decks out of the available cards.
Sure.
But even so, I'm just kind of done with the fantasy theme and the magic-like games. So you said you do also have the sci-fi one by the same people, Star Realms.
Yep.
So I'm interested in trying that at some point.
Right. So, yeah, White Wizard Games was started by, what's the name of the guy? He used to work for Wizard of the Coast. I don't remember his name. But anyway, so they started with Star Realms, and then they kickstarted Epic, and I think there's, like, another... like Fantasy Realms or something like that that's coming out soon, which is seems like it would kind of conflict with Epic, but whatever.
Hero Realms?
Oh, that's it. Yeah, Hero Realms. Yeah, but I think that is a fantasy-style game just like Epic is. So.
And Wikipedia tells me their founder is Rob Doherty.
Yes, that's the guy. See? Look at that. Go Wikipedia.
Thanks, so, Wikipedia.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Anyway, so, yeah, the game's fine. We even have the little... like booster pack from Kickstarter. It's okay.
Yeah. I had no idea what we were getting into. So like now if you pull it out again, I would have more of a concept of what we're getting into and so I might enjoy it more. Also the constructed deck thing, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if anybody out there plays Epic, especially since we're talking to you and you're probably married maybe with kids and so if you know this is a two-player game so this is exactly the kind of thing that you would sit down and play after you put the kids to bed and you know if you have thoughts on Epic I would be curious to hear them because we only played it once so that's our opinions after one playthrough so if you've got you know strong opinions about the game in any way I'd be interested to hear what those might be.
We played another two-player game on our hot date. It's a game called Pocket Ops.
Yep. So this is
coming to Kickstarter sometime. This week ish.
Is it that soon? So this is a game from the Grand Gamers Guild that got sent to us. It's sort of like overpowered tic tac toe with social deduction built in.
Yes. And for all that, it's really quite simple. It's based on tic tac toe. It's a lot of fun and it moves fast. But not as fast as regular tic-tac-toe, which is good.
Right. And, you know, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we talked about restaurant games.
This is a good restaurant game for two people.
For two people. So the premise is that you have kind of like special agents that you're putting on the tic-tac-toe board. Mm-hmm. But your opponent has a set of cards. So A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. And they put one face down and they're trying to basically guess where you're going to be placing your... Mm-hmm. Your special agent, and you put your agent on the tic-tac-toe grid. They flip their card over. If they have guessed correctly, your agent is removed. If not, that agent gets to stay there. And there's a couple of like specialty units.
Each game, you get one specialty unit,
which is kind of randomly selected, and those have kind of special abilities. Like if you place this and it gets to stay here, it does something. If it's an assassin or if it's
it gets to move somebody else's, or it gets to push it off the board, or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So you know you can be in,
or you get to have two guesses next turn, or whatever.
You can be in a game that would in conventional tic-tac-toe be a stalemate, but you have like the I don't know what's called, the pusher.
Yeah.
Right? Where instead of just putting a guy down and it staying there, you put it down, and if it doesn't get guessed, it can move in any orthogonal direction and push whoever is there over one, and if that falls off the board, they fall off the board. And so all of a sudden now you've cleared the way for a tic-tac-toe or
something like that. And what else? I finally was able to pull out and introduce the kids to a favorite game of my childhood. It's called Troke, subtitled Castle Checkers.
Yeah. So I was surprised, you know, our middle Asher, he was asking to play it today. So he really enjoyed it.
I will tell a story about this in a little bit as we review other things from past episodes.
Okay.
But I'm just really happy to pull it out and play it. And I'm really happy that two out of our three kids are old enough to play it with me. And I'm actually thinking that our youngest might be able to be guided through being the fourth player.
Really?
Maybe. We'll see.
I'm intrigued.
He really, really wanted to play with us when it was the three of us playing, to the point of he started being like, oh, well, I put these on the dots and then I move them forward, right? Like, that's how we play the game. I'm like, well, yes, but right now you're just in the way. So that are the games we've played in the last two weeks.
Just in the last two weeks. Which... we would have played more, but I got insanely busy with work last week. So, we're going to have a fun summer, guys.
It's going to be a good summer.
All right. Well, before we get into our reflections, I think we should do what we always do and take a break. Hey, Anitra.
Hey, Andrew.
So we talked about it. Hot date that we got to have.
Yeah.
And that was awesome.
Unexpected.
Right. And it was unexpected. And that's exactly one of the things that we struggle with a lot as parents of little kids who can't take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we end up in these situations where we finally put the kids to bed and we're just kind of sitting around and, you know, we can't go anywhere. We want to do something.
Yeah.
We're kind of stuck. And so we partnered up with this organization, this group called Date Night Inn. And what they do, this is a crate delivery service, and they will ship a crate to you, one crate per month, and it's a date night in a box that you can have at home.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. They actually sent us one, and this one is called Foundations of Love.
Yep.
And I got a chance to open it up and take a look at it. We haven't had our date night yet.
No.
But we will. I promise.
I looked at it, too. It's a little bit corny, but in the best ways.
Yeah, it really is. It's so the Foundations of Love... this particular crate is basically a series of activities to almost like build a building. It's really cute.
Out of like toothpicks and jelly beans and stuff like that.
Yep. And then at the end,
As you're doing it, you're like, you know, one of the exercises in there was take popsicle sticks and write things that are important to your marriage and then glue them together to create the foundation of your building.
Right. It's very adorable.
It's very cute. And obviously the whole idea is to get the two of us to work together, talk things through, and reflect on what has worked well so far in our marriage, right, and see if we could keep doing that.
Right. You know, I mean, look, I will be honest with you and our listeners, because I just think it's better to actually, you know, be who I am. Like, we've gone on dates, and we just kind of, like, sit there, like, we're sitting there at dinner, and we just, like, stare at each other. We're like, so, what are the kids doing, you think?
Well, especially since I'm a stay-at-home mom, you now work from home, so in the middle of the day, you'll just, like, come up to get a drink of water, and you'll tell me how your day is going at work.
Which, by the way, is awesome, except for when you're cooking something for dinner that smells really good.
That's also good. It gives you incentive to finish your work on time.
Anyway, so...
But so, like, it's not like there's a lot of new surprising things that we can talk about that aren't part of the normal day-to-day.
Right. Yeah, you're not wrong. But it is kind of hard sometimes to really kind of reflect on your relationship and on your marriage and the things that are working and the things that aren't. And, you know, sometimes it's not even that those things are hard to talk about, but, like, getting that conversation started is kind of awkward.
Yeah.
And I think that this particular box is a really cool job of getting that conversation started. And that part I really appreciated. They also had links to a Spotify playlist that you can listen to while you do all these things and stuff like that. It was really sweet. And I'm actually looking forward to it as adorably corny and goofy as it looks.
It fits our personality as well. Yeah, adorably corny.
You're adorable and I am corny. It's perfect. But anyway, so, you know, we've partnered with Day Night In, and you can check them out yourself if you go to thefamilygamers.com/date night.
Spell it the right way, please. NIGHT.
And what that'll do is it'll bring you right to the Date Night site. You can take a look at the kinds of boxes that they have available. It's $34.99 if you do it on a monthly basis. It's a little bit less if you do a 3-month or a 6-month or a year subscription. They're really cool. They're great people. It's a small company. They sent us a personalized thank you card for partnering up with them, which I thought was adorable.
Which was also adorable.
Definitely check them out. They are sponsors of the show, and we do appreciate that very much. That's thefamilygamers.com/date night.
And we're back.
Yeah, we're back, and we have something that we love to do, and that is...
give stuff away!
We're going to give stuff away
away!
Well, we're not going to give it away right now, no. But we're going to announce next
we're
contest.
We're going to tell you that we're about to give stuff away.
Right. Well, we're not even announcing the next contest because we technically teased it last week.
Fine. You should go to thefamilygamers.com. We are giving away a set of Rory Story Cubes.
Yep. So we talked with Rory O'Connor last week on the show. This is a set of Rory Story Cubes that is like published or whatever, distributed by GameRight, which is going to become a collector's item soon.
Yeah, you could leave it in the packaging and it would become a collector's item.
So we are going to be giving away a copy of Rory Story Cubes. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA, and there will be a pinned link at the top of the Facebook page for this giveaway.
Or you can just go to our website. It'll be there too.
We're going to tweet about it, twitter.com/FamilyGamersAA. We're going to use the Rafflecopter widget just like we have in the past. So
yep.
If you have entered a contest with us before, you will
It'll be ludicrously easy to enter again.
Click a bunch of buttons, tweet a bunch of stuff, and that's going to be how it works.
Yep. So you should enter. Vote early, vote often.
Yes.
We also have a little bit of news, in the works.
So this is stuff that's in the works.
Teasing stuff that's in the works.
I might have maybe kind of half sort of a tiny bit mentioned this before.
Well, mention it for real now.
But yeah, so, okay. And not only are we going to mention this, but we are going to solicit your opinions. We need your help.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. So our daughter, Claire, is going to start up her own video series.
Ooh.
Using the Family Gamers YouTube feed that we've never put anything on, basically.
I think in about a year and a half, yeah.
Well, that's not entirely true. Yeah, we haven't put anything on in a year and a half.
Since
we did
Christmas 2015.
We did like the Kiwi Kid unboxing on that, yep. Right. But so she's going to start up her new video series, and this was partially inspired by her receiving an antique desk from your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
It's this adorable tilt-top desk, and you can open it up, and it's got a little area inside. And so this series is going to be called What's in the Desk? And basically, what we're going to have is Claire pulling the game out of a desk and talking about that game from her perspective, largely but not completely unscripted.
Yeah, a little bit of coaching, maybe.
Yeah, but I'm not planning on being in the video.
Yeah,
Or you're not planning on being in the video. This is going to be Claire is the star attraction.
This is going to be what Claire does with her summer vacation.
Pretty much. And now it does mean a couple things. Number one. The games that she's going to feature are going to be games that she can play. I mean, these are not going to be... Claire, I love
Lords
of Waterdeep.
Games that are 8-year-old appropriate.
Claire is not going to talk about Lords of Waterdeep.
Yes, no.
But if there are any games for kids, okay, that you would like to hear someone talk about from a kid's perspective, let us know.
Yes.
We are really interested in hearing what games you might be interested in hearing about, even if that means that we have to go out and buy them.
Yes.
We will definitely go ahead and do that. And then we are going to start up that video series. All the hardware is here. It's all set up.
Yep.
We're going to figure it out.
We're going to make this work.
But we want to know what you want to hear about. So very exciting. Coming hopefully by the end of June or sometime in July. What's in the Desk with Claire?
Yay. All right. And now on to our topic for this week is reflecting on the last 49
episodes
of the podcast.
The Family Gamers.
And even back the first couple episodes when we called it A New Challenger Approaches.
Yeah. And then we found out A New Challenger Approaches was the name of a band. And so we just changed it to the Family Gamers podcast.
I think also a podcast. It was already taken.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't work for us. So we moved on.
But we didn't.
Let us talk about what we have been doing.
I guess we'll start way back at A New Challenger Approaches then. Back in episode 2, which was the first episode that we tried to cover a topic besides just, hey, we're Andrew and Nitra and here are a couple of games we like. Mm-hmm. We talked a lot in that episode about trying to find the right balance between too much video games or completely banning video games. We're still trying to find that balance. So we're definitely not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
we cycle back and forth, and it's highly dependent on what else is going on in the family and the weather and things like that. So,
right,
yeah. It is what it is.
It's, you know, it's one of these things that we're getting to the end of the school year, and it's kind of a time where everybody is tired.
Yeah,
all the time.
And it's been raining for the last 3 weeks. So every time I tell the kids to go outside, they're like, no, it's wet. I don't want to.
So that's been very, very difficult in terms of us because, you know, we're parents and we've hit that stage where we want to send our children outside.
And the weather is not cooperating.
And get them to play. And the weather's not cooperating. And so as a result, we end up in this situation where we have to make the decision between video games and board games. And, you know, for me, I can't be involved until after 5.
Yeah.
It's not possible. And you're chasing around a 3-year-old who...
And trying to make dinner, usually.
And trying to make dinner, right.
So sometimes it happens more often than I'd like that I'm just like, fine, you got your homework done, you did your chores, fine. Do whatever you want with screen time. I mean, within the limits we've already set of what's appropriate and what's not. Just fine, whatever. Right. Stay out of my hair.
But here's...
And I'm trying to do that less, but it's hard right now.
Here's something I will say to that. It is extremely easy for you to lose track of that. And I don't mean you like you.
No,
I mean
like in general.
You know, our kids have gotten into the habit of asking us to watch television or have screen time in the morning.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, and does not bode well for the summer.
Right.
So we're gonna nip that in the bud.
Yeah. But it's I think that the meaningful takeaway here is this is always a struggle unless you have extremely strong cultural, and I don't mean cultural like full on culture, but within your household expectations of what is and is not appropriate right off the bat.
Yeah.
This is something that you will struggle with, and it will ebb and it will flow.
Yeah,
and it's a little bit, you know. I think that sometimes you'll get rewarded in ways that you don't expect. You know, your kids will decide randomly to take out board games and just start playing with them, and that's a wonderful thing. We were just featured on One Board Family.
Mm-hmm.
Go to one board boardfamily.com, and there's a little article that kind of talks about us, and they interviewed us, and we answered a bunch of questions. And one of the anecdotes that I relayed in there was the time that we came out and our kids were playing Mastermind together and having
at like 7
time.
In the morning.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
you know, so those things happen, but it definitely takes effort to kind of force that balance a little bit and to be mindful of the fact that it's really easy to let kids lose themselves in video games.
Yeah.
So.
The kids are not the only ones, but it's more obvious when you're on the outside looking in. But in this reflections, in episode 2, the two of us complained that the toddler, quote unquote, he had just turned 1, I think, that his main space to be was right in front of the TV. And so if you tried to play any kind of video games, he would grab the controller. He's almost 3 now. He still grabs the controller. Or he just goes and finds his own controller and figures out how to turn it on and then either pauses the game or makes you die by adding a second player or whatever. So, yeah. Still a problem. Probably still going to be a problem for about another year. All right. Other episodes. Screen time episodes. I don't think we've really changed our stance on this except that in the last 6 months or so, I've heard great things about Circle. or Circle with Disney, I think might be the official name. It's good for basic filtering, and it doesn't require you to plug into every single device in your house.
Right. So I have, over the last, actually, ironically, it's been over the last week or two, as I've started, you know, we've begun to have conversations around letting Claire have some kind of wireless device.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah. One thing that I have done with my personal computer is switched over to a different wireless signal in the house. So I put my computer on the 5 gigahertz signal instead of 2.4 gigahertz signal. I have been toying with the idea of transitioning all of the stuff that we want to be, quote, permanently connected to the Wi-Fi to one of those, so that the other one is made available to our children.
Children and guests.
Which means it can be turned off at will without affecting all of the other things. And so if you are not necessarily, if you feel odd or awkward, and I would say you shouldn't, but if you do about installing one of these, you know, policing tools like Circle or or like, I don't remember what the one was that that was recommended by Chally's, but
Covenant Eyes?
Maybe. Yeah, that sounds right. If you don't feel right about doing those kinds of things, or you don't want to, something very simple like managing two wireless networks in your home and just turning one off at certain points is definitely an approach that you can take.
That could work. All right, what else? Moving forward in time, episode 8 is when you had first gotten your broken token organizer for Lords of Waterdeep, and you waxed eloquently about how much you loved it.
I still do.
And you still love it. We talked about Marvel Puzzle Quest. We had just quit playing at that point.
Yeah, so we quit and we did not go back.
We did not go back. I'm proud. Go us.
Yeah.
High five.
Yeah, so we're 2 years clean or something. you know, this is a great example of what we were talking about before, with losing yourselves in a video game. And what we found with Marvel Puzzle Quest was that what they would do is they would have these kinds of timed events. Yeah. And they would go for, I don't know, a week at a time or whatever. And what we would find is that getting really close to the end of that timed event, it was you get up in the morning and you check your puzzle quest, and then you go to the bathroom.
You check your standings.
And you want to make sure that you're high enough in the standings that you get the right cards to do all these things. And finally, we just sat down and we were like, look, this is ridiculous.
You know, it's consuming way too much mental energy, even if it's not consuming a lot of actual time.
Right. You know, I mean, I am a firm believer in, with the possible exception of sports, I'm anti-appointment television.
Yeah. Right?
And yet I found myself saying like, oh, this event's going to end in 2 hours. I better get to my phone.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not
good. And so we made the decision to quit that. And
I have not regretted it.
Not even a little bit. So, pretty happy with that one.
This was a pretty rich episode, because this is also, episode 8 is also when we tried potato chips for science.
For science. We tried the Greek hero flavored potato chips. Hold on. Let's think back in time. That Subway has those
there's a bunch of weird experimental flavors.
Lay's flavors.
Yeah.
And so I grabbed the Greek Town Hero flavored chips.
You mean they're not the gyro flavored chips?
Whatever they are. Hero.
Yes, it's
hero. Yeah.
I'm being sarcastic.
Gyro something. So
I need a hero. All right, I'm done.
So anyway, so we brought, I figured I would grab, you know, the questionable chips for science.
For science!
And we would find out if we liked them. And so I had, you know, three. And I had my bag of chips, too, so
you
figured...
You had a couple of chips, and then you gave the bag to me.
Yeah, and I gave the bag to Anitra, and I left. So what do you think of the chips?
They were weird, but they were all right. I'm not a big potato chip person, but if I was buying potato chips, I might even buy those again.
Ugh! Are you serious?
Yeah, they were fine.
They were. I love potato chips. Those things were disgusting. Those chips were so gross that I ate my cheddar and sour cream baked Lay's.
Yeah.
And then I had those three chips.
Yeah.
And then I had a soda and my sub.
Yeah.
And then I went and I polished off the bag of sour cream and onion chips that we have. Well, we don't have any more, because they were. I had this disgusting hero crappy yuck chip taste in my mouth. You know what? I'll tell you what. I did this once, also for science. I had Taco Bell breakfast.
Ugh.
It was better than the Hero chips.
Oh man, that's sad.
I mean, it was like a lead pellet in my stomach afterwards. Imagine. But it tasted better than the Hero chips.
Right.
Actually, it was like a Crunchwrap Supreme kind of thing, but with like sausage and stuff, and sausage and scrambled eggs instead of like the stuff that they put in a regular Crunchwrap Supreme.
Yeah, so
I mean, it actually made sense. It was kind of like a weird burrito-y thing.
Weird breakfast.
Yeah,
burrito.
Like they put salsa in it and stuff. It wasn't bad. Sure, it just the after effects were like
was Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Man, that was awesome. We need to bring the Four Science back.
I think we will. We did a Facebook Live video when we had the mac and Cheetos from Burger King for science.
I wouldn't even try those. They looked terrible.
They were terrible. There's a reason why they looked that way. And we've actually had some, you know, dalliances with local cuisine.
True.
Let's see, the Williams couple, Spencer and Lara, the Married with Board Games crew, and the Family Gamers have been shipping regional delicacies back and forth.
But in that case, we're sending them and they're sending us things that we're like, this is so good, you need to have it in your life.
Well, look, the Four Science testing does not necessarily mean that something is not good.
Fair enough.
Okay. And I will, in fact, say that on the most recent episode of Married with BG,
mm-hmm.
They have this thing called Game Night Grub most episodes where they talk about some kind of snack that they have during game night, and they talked about like ways to mix up s'mores basically. And,
okay,
I would recommend you listen to it, but Spencer's, I guess it's his favorite s'more. This sounds very interesting to me. Instead of graham cracker, it's Ritz crackers.
Okay,
still the mushroom, marshmallow.
Ew, mushrooms would be gross.
I misspoke. So Ritz crackers. Marshmallow, and then instead of chocolate, a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Intriguing. I'm not sure how I feel about the Ritz cracker, but I would be willing to try it
for science.
There we go.
And so that's going to come soon. But if there are any, like, please don't think up just disgusting stuff.
No, but something that you've heard of that's actually a thing.
Right. I mean, whether it's a product in a store or like some weird combination of things, like peanut butter and fluff, it's so weird.
As long as it's not my mom's Jell-O salad with vegetables in it.
That sounds so disgusting.
It's so awful. So awful.
Well, so another episode of Married with BG, they talked about Texas trash dip.
I heard that episode. That sounds delicious.
Yeah. So anyway.
I don't know what they call it, trash.
I will try anything. You'll try almost anything.
I will try some things.
And if it's better to be done on video, we'll do it on video. But definitely
For
write to
science.
Us. Let us know. This is a high feedback episode.
It really is. All
right, so we want to resurrect the Four Science.
Let's move forward in time a little bit more. Kiwi crates. So we tried out a Kiwi Crate and a...
We did them all. We did a Kiwi Crate, Koala Crate, Doodle Crate, and Tinker Crate.
I don't think we ever did Doodle Crate, but we did the other three.
Oh, okay.
And this was back around Christmas 2015-ish.
Sounds right.
Ish.
Yep.
So I would say we still like them overall. We've had a few minor issues over the
So it's worth saying we had a Kiwi Crate subscription for both Claire and
both kids,
Asher.
Yeah.
Asher, our six-year-old, and... I want to say maybe 4 or 5 months ago, we upgraded Claire from the Kiwi Crate, which is the...
We were given a subscription as a gift, and we talked to the giver and said, Claire is really done with the Kiwi Crate thing.
Right.
I think she'd enjoy one of these higher age group ones instead.
Great.
We tried out Tinker Crate. She doesn't actually like Tinker Crate that much. Not that it's bad, it just doesn't mesh well with her interests.
I think it's pretty complicated, and...
It is pretty complicated, but...
If she's not super into the topic... The combination of that and it being kind of tough for her.
The Tinker Crate stuff,
really
it's very mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not that type of personality, it's just not going to appeal to you as much.
Right.
So the next one should now be a Doodle Crate, I think, and I'm excited for that.
Great.
Asher still loves the Kiwi Crates. We've gotten a couple of duplicates, but... All that means is we've looked at him and said, hey, this is a great thing. We already know we like it. We're going to set it away on our gift-giving shelf.
Right.
And we can give it to a kid and be like, this is an awesome kit and you should have it.
we have had a couple of like QA issues,
some
like
minor hiccups,
maybe a couple of missing pieces or a broken piece.
The missing pieces, the Kiwi Crate customer service has been really fantastic about. They're like, I can't believe that happened, and you know, give us your address again, and we'll just ship you the new pieces right away.
Right. So they've been good about that. We don't even have a sponsorship link for them anymore.
Nope.
But you know, we're just
they're still pretty good
following up on our what we talked about.
Yep. What else? I saw episode 17 had all the things we were looking forward to in 2016, and most of those were great. Patchwork was great. Tesla versus Edison was great. The Amplitude remake has been great. We had Lost Woods on that list.
We still have not played it.
We still haven't played Lost Woods. Yep. A year and a half later.
It's because the box wasn't as big as Legendary, I guess.
I guess. Sorry. Episode 21, we were Team Cap. Are we still Team Cap?
Yep.
We're still Team Cap.
Yep.
Yeah. And our kids are still not old enough for these movies, and nope. It's going to be several more years.
Although we were listening to that episode, and I made some comment about how I'd like them to release like the Phase 1 and Phase 2 stuff in this giant Blu-ray set for nice and cheap. And then that whoever said that, that guy being me, that guy was brilliant. Because I would buy those.
Yeah. I think the problem is they have to reach a point where... Not necessarily that they've stopped making the movies, but they need to reach an end point of, like, this section of Marvel movies is done now.
Oh, yeah, they pretty much have. So, it's basically between the Avengers movies is a phase, right?
Sure.
So, that's kind of how they do it.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Yeah, somehow in the last year and a half, our kids have picked up a pretty encyclopedic knowledge of who's in the Avengers. I'm trying to figure out how, maybe this came through Disney Infinity, or... Maybe it came through the comic books in the library.
I have no idea.
Kid appropriate? I don't know. But suddenly they know who all of the Avengers are.
I should say, by the way, I'll just randomly stick this in here. If you are a Marvel fan, Amazon is doing this like huge Comixology sale right now. So if you are into reading digital comics, check it out. I mean, it's a big. It's like many thousand, literally many thousands of titles.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yep. So check that out if that's your thing.
And one last thing to review. We've gotten a lot better about doing weekly podcasts. But episode 30, we talked about winning and being a gracious winner and a sore loser. We definitely still have not mastered teaching this to our children. That game of Troke that I played with the kids, Asher was super excited and super into it. Like, I won, and... Claire and Asher said, you know what, let's keep going and see who comes in second place. Asher made one less than great move, which allowed Claire to keep capturing him over and over again. And so she was able to come in second, and he came in third. And the moment the game was over, he burst into tears. And like, I hate this. This was awful. I'm like, did you not enjoy playing the game? No, I didn't enjoy any of it. I'm like, oh, please, for crying out loud. So trying to talk him through that, I'm glad to hear that it obviously didn't last all that long, because the next day he was asking you if you would play Troke with him.
Right.
It makes me want to just pick him up and shake him.
Oh, great.
I'm not CPS. Going to do it, but it makes me want to, because I just can't talk sense into him when he's like that.
Yeah, we've actually adopted a policy where... if our kids can't have a conversation because they're too emotional, we will have them excuse themselves until they can recover, and then we will talk to them and resolve.
And we're trying to be clear with them that this is not a punishment for being upset, but just nobody can talk to you when you're like this. So, you know, go probably to your room, go somewhere you can be by yourself and calm down. And once you're calm, I'm happy to talk about this with you.
So...
Hopefully that'll work.
Not our favorite thing in the world, but but it is what it is.
Part of being a parent.
All right.
That's our show.
So that's pretty much it. One thing I do want to do, and I hope this doesn't get a little long in the tooth, but we have a list of partners that we've worked with that continues to grow. And I want to read this list because we've worked with a lot of really amazing people, and we want to say thanks to those people who've been with us. So I'm going to read... this and offer very small amounts of commentary. The first one on the list, it's alphabetical order, is Andrew Innes. This is the guy who created Anomia.
Yes.
And we love Anomia. It's awesome. He created Duple as well. Anomia Kids is coming this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we're going to check out. Andy Jeremiah, great friend of the show. He's the one who invented Maze Racers, the upcoming baseball dice, which is awesome. I also want to thank Baba Geek Games, Robert Riddle, Kevin Crane.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of the head guys behind Granite Game Summit, which we've been talking about a lot recently. Black Oak Games, they are the creators of Not Dice, which you totally love. Blue Orange Games, they make a ton of great stuff. Dr. Eureka and King Domino, which is nominated for Spiel des Jahres this year. And I think it's got a real good chance of winning.
It's excellent game. It's an awesome game.
We haven't even released a review for that one yet, but they've been really, really good partners as well.
Yes.
Card Lords. These are the folks that created both Battle Goats and the upcoming Take the Gold, which I'm pretty sure funded on Kickstarter.
And they sponsored us.
They did do some sponsorships with us. Bellwether Games.
Mm-hmm.
They are huge friends of the show, and they've done a ton of stuff with us. They did a sponsorship for The Princess and the Goblin. We did a combo giveaway on that one. I know for a fact that we're going to be working together soon in the future, so that's going to be pretty exciting as well. So big thanks to Dennis Hoyle and Bellwether Games on that one. Cosmic Wombat Games, the creators of Campaign Trail, the game that we cannot wait to get out. Unfortunately, it's been delayed a few times, but they've been doing a lot of work on the art and stuff like that, and hopefully that'll be coming later this year.
The Dice Tower.
How could we not thank the Dice Tower?
Thank you, Dice Tower.
We are part of the Dice Tower Network. They've been wonderful to us. Tom Vassell and his crew have been fantastic, and we're really looking forward to continuing to work with them over 2017 and beyond. Druid City Games. You are beside yourself excited for the Grim Forest.
Oh, it looks so awesome.
And of course, Barnyard Roundup. We have the review for that. That'll be live by
that
the time
you live
listen
today.
To the show. Yeah. Dude Games, they worked with us. We've released the review for Sushi Dice.
Yep. They published that in the U.S.
Yep. So Dude Games is taking a lot of Canadian games and bringing them to the U.S.
Yep.
So they're going to have a lot of great stuff coming out. Foxtrot Games. Foxtrot released World's Fair 1893, which obviously we love an immense amount. They also published Lanterns.
Lanterns is a great game.
Expansion to Lanterns that's coming out pretty soon as well. Game Right.
Our relationship with Game Right actually predates the Family Gamers proper.
It does. We love
Thanks,
them.
Thanks, Nora.
They're fantastic. We did an interview with Game Right in our PAX East coverage this year. Gridley Games, we reviewed Wise Alec from Gridley Games. They're a relatively small publisher out of New Jersey that does a lot of kind of educational-ish games.
Yep.
And we like them very much. Hoyle Play, so the American Trading Card Company with the Hoyle
We reviewed
brand.
Some of their new educational games, and we didn't love them, but I still am. I like the work they're doing.
Mm-hmm. We also want to thank Jeff Johnston.
Jeff, you make great games.
what a personality he is, right? he does make some really wonderful stuff, and he's hilarious. Let's see, Junk Spirit Games, they made
Junk King,
which is a game we reviewed a while ago,
back in the early days.
A lot of fun there. Let's see, Kiwi Crate, we've already talked a bit about Kiwi
quite
Crate.
Quite a bit. Yep.
Len Peralta, who creates Geekimals. I highly recommend, just Google search Geekimals. We bought a couple of these for my mom and my sister, and they were awesome. He basically will take a picture of your pet and take a theme. The themes we gave him were Chuck Norris and Portal, and draw them. So you can commission custom artwork of your pets, and they were fantastic. And he came
can't say
show.
Enough good things
he,
about
he did an
him.
Interview with us. He was great. He's done some guest artwork for Steve Jackson games. So he's done a lot of really cool stuff. Really, really great guy.
Luana Games, they're the ones who published Women in Science.
Science.
Which was a pretty fun game. Married with Board Games.
Yes. I mean, Spencer and Lara. We're like cross country BFFs or something. I don't know.
Yep.
We have a lot of fun joking around on Twitter and stuff like that, and really going back and forth with them. They were on our show. We were on their show. We love those guys. By the way, Lara for Whedon's Batgirl, hashtag Lara for Whedon's Batgirl.
Yeah.
On Twitter. Come on.
Let's make it happen.
If you're listening, at Joss, Lara for Whedon's Batgirl.
My good friend Matt Shapiro, who was on the show about a year plus ago talking about his Lego
app?
Yep, Brick Instructions. Does that sound right?
Sounds right.
Basically, Lego, if you didn't know, they actually have an API that you can connect to and download all the manuals that you lose.
In PDF format.
In PDF format. And so he created an app that allows you to, it's a Windows app, that allows you to go in and pull those things down so that you can do some creation. You might not even need to have the kit.
Yep.
I saw a picture of him today on Facebook. He got the Saturn V rocket Lego set. It's like a 2,000 piece set.
So awesome.
Oh man, I want to see that thing done.
Matt Worden from Matt Worden Games. Mm-hmm. They published Santa's Little Helpers and the Ice Cube Jam.
Ice Cube Jam.
Which is another one of our early reviewed games.
Mm-hmm. It's still a cute game. It's still fun to play.
I love that game.
It is remarkable how good of a job that game does at keeping things relatively even as you play.
Yes.
It's remarkable. It's, it's just very, very well done.
It's very well done. Mayfair Games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to work with Mayfair through New York Toy Fair. Mm-hmm. And we reviewed Fight for Olympus from Mayfair. And I think we've got a great relationship there. Look forward to working with them some more. The Mommy Gamers, of course. We were on the Mommy Gamers a while ago. But we've been friends with them. That actually also predates the Family Gamers as well.
It's part of the inspiration for our name.
In some ways it is. Yeah, Marcia and I used to be on a different website together.
Yeah.
Writing. And so just want to say thanks to the Mommy Gamers. We did a guest review on the Mommy Gamers website a while back as well. Let's see. Rory O'Connor.
Thank you, Rory.
Thanks for coming on the show, Rory. Thank you so much for all of the amazing games that you've created. I'm really looking forward to Untold. I think it's going to be a really cool game when that comes out.
Yeah.
So thank you very much to Rory O'Connor. Yankee Express, it's a local paper in the area. They carry our reviews.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Yeah, and they even pay us.
Which is also
it's amazing.
Cool. Yeah, that funds some of the board game purchases that we have, actually.
Play. We've been following their games, both digital games and board games for, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years now. And
right.
Everything they put out is just a lot of fun for kids to play. Mm-hmm.
So Jason Weiser is the head of Yaya Play Games. The I think the big one that we talk about a lot is the app Dino Trucks.
Dino Trucks. That would be the favorite.
Which is literally a sandbox app.
Yes. However, we did also review their card game, Monsters in the Elevator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And finally, Zoink Games. I mean, first of all, Zoink Games is just a cool
fun name
for a game. And they released Flipping Dead, which was, it's not out yet, but we saw it at PAX East, and we did a little interview with them, so that was pretty fun as well.
Cool.
So those are our partners.
Thank you to all of you partner people.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely very thankful for the work that we've been able to do. We're literally adding more people to our partners page almost every day, which is awesome. In fact, I just realized the date night people aren't on here yet.
Thank you, date night.
So thank you very much for listening to the show. I really appreciate that.
Thank you to all of you.
Yeah, I mean, how cool is it that we, with this show, we're probably going to break 20,000 downloads.
20,000 downloads?
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's insane.
Thank you all again for downloading and listening to our show. We will thank you even more if you go visit our website, thefamilygamers.com.
Thefamilygamers.com, or if you subscribe to the show on iTunes.
Oh, you will have our undying thank you. Thanks.
Undying thanks.
If you subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
Please leave us reviews on iTunes. You know, we solicited a lot of feedback this week on the show. And what are some of the best ways that they can give that feedback to us?
They can give us feedback on Twitter.
Twitter.com/FamilyGamersAA or just @FamilyGamersAA.
Facebook.
Facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA.
Instagram.
Yep. I mean, Instagram's probably not the best place for feedback, but definitely check us out on Instagram to see pictures of all these games we've been playing, which is @FamilyGamersAA.
You can, of course, email us.
It's the new old school.
I know, it's old school now. It's so
Andrew @TheFamilyGamers.com.
And Anitra @TheFamilyGamers.com. ANITRA.
Mm-hmm.
So don't forget to go to that Facebook page, go to the Twitter page, go to our website.
And enter the Story Cubes giveaway.
You want story cubes in your life.
Yep. Every life is better with more story cubes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So that's going to be it for us this week. This is episode number 50.
50!
And I'm looking forward to at least 50 more.
And we were told 50 is the new 40. So
yeah, so we'll do another celebration episode in 10 episodes?
I don't know about
no,
that.
No, probably not.
No.
But yeah, this was episode 50 of the Family Gamers Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And until next week,
play games with your kids.